loving and gracious God, by your Holy Spirit, grant that the words of my mouth and the thoughts of our hearts may be acceptable unto thee. Amen. Every Sunday morning, before the 8 o'clock service and the 10 o'clock service, the Altar Guild will, among its many other duties, set out 2 glasses of water. There is one in the pulpit for the preacher, and the other is in the sanctuary. It's on the floor beside the gospel side prayer desk, which is for the celebrant to drink before beginning the long Eucharistic prayer. This isn't, of course, technically the responsibility of the Altar Guild, but the clergy in this church are well cared for, perhaps even a little spoiled. I usually check before the service to see if the glasses of water have been set out, but sometimes I forget. And very occasionally, perhaps once a year, when I go into the pulpit to preach, I will find an empty glass left from the Sunday before. The empty glass is obviously of no use to me. The glass exists for the sake of the water that it might hold. And no matter how beautiful or rare or expensive the glass may be, of cut crystal perhaps, if it holds no water, it has at that moment no value. This is, of course, a kind of parable. On Sundays like today, when I'm not entirely confident of my sermon, I myself feel like an empty glass. I would wish always to be overflowing with wisdom and courage and good news for you, to pour out for you the clear water of the gospel. But if I am not full of courage and wisdom and good news, or if I cannot that morning communicate it, well, really, what good am I? If I have not love, as St. Paul says, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If the words are not sustained and filled by the Holy Spirit, it's just noise. So, the glass exists for the sake of the water, not the water for the sake of the glass. The sermon exists for the sake of the gospel, not the gospel for the sake of producing yet another sermon. And we ourselves exist for God's sake. God does not exist for ours. This is important. I think there is in the life of every mature Christian a moment when our understanding shifts from being perhaps self-centered disciples of Christ to being God-centered disciples of Christ. When we are young, perhaps, when we are just learning the Christian walk, we might imagine ourselves and our lives as beautiful, infinitely valuable containers. We are even, perhaps, crystal. We look into the future and we wonder what wonderful things God might pour into our lives. We imagine ourselves as containing God. We would like God to pour a bit of himself into us. We think that would be nice. That would make our lives nice. But we do imagine them as our lives. We imagine ourselves worthy to contain him. Of course, we grow older. We learn more about our own human limitations. We will learn more about the infinitude, the incomprehensible glory of God. And the more we learn of ourselves and of God, the more a self-centered view of life becomes impossible to sustain. The moment will come, and then it begins to come with increasing frequency, when we realize that such frail vessels as ourselves cannot contain God except by his continuous grace. To know God in a mature way is to grasp this truth and to rejoice in it. That just as the glass exists for the sake of the water, not the water for the glass, so we exist for God's sake, not God's for our sake. St. Paul uses this metaphor when he writes to the Corinthians. He says, we hold this incomparable treasure, the good news of Jesus Christ, in jars of clay. What is a human being? A human being is a creature made by God, made in the image of God, which God longs to fill with himself. We are a glass into which God is pleased to pour himself continuously. And of course, if we do not receive that life, that giving water, we're not much use, really. For this we were made, and for nothing else. All things in our lives, our families, our work, our homes, our possessions, our plans for the future, exist for one reason, that they may contain and then communicate the love and the glory of God. And if they do not serve that purpose, they do not serve. In our epistle lesson this morning, the letter to the Galatians, Paul reflects on how before he came to faith in Christ, his life was filled with the law of Moses. And he's quite proud of this, you know. All through the letters of Paul, he will reflect on his former life. And a most impressive life it was, really. A Hebrew of Hebrews, a Jew of Jews. He says, you know, if anyone could perfectly accomplish the law, it was him. As a glass may be filled with water, so Paul was filled with the law. And he accounted himself a pretty great glass, worthy of that which he contained. Then, of course, as we read in the book of Acts, Paul encountered Christ on the Damascus Road. He encountered a glory he could not contain. The container of his life was shattered. You remember the story. He is thrown to the voice of Jesus comes from heaven. Paul is thrown to the ground. He's rendered blind for 3 days. He is incapacitated. In fact, it is a kind of death. And after 3 days, when he is recovered, he discovers himself transformed. From that moment, no longer does God exist for the sake of Paul, but Paul will exist for the sake of God. And in those truly astounding words we hear in today's epistle lesson, Paul writes, I died to the law that I might live to God. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but it is Christ who lives in me. These will be terrifying words to people who do not know the love of God. It is no longer I who live. Well, that is death, is it not? It is no longer I who live. Yet through that death, there is this resurrection. Christ lives in me. Such words are liberating. Such words are freedom to anyone who will understand that we exist not for ourselves, but for God. That the only real life we have is the life that God lives in us. To be a mature Christian is to know and rejoice, not in our own lives, but in the life God lives within us. And it is a liberty. It's a freedom. We can walk away from the vanity, the self-concern, the fear, the worry of what other people think of us, in the same way that a child might walk away from a broken toy. And we will do it once, and of course we will forget. We will, you know, fall back into old habits, but we will do it again and again and again. And this is the movement of a mature Christian, to keep opening our lives to the glory of God. No one does it perfectly. In this letter to the Galatians, Paul says, I don't do it perfectly, but I keep on performing this movement The Greek word would be kenosis, emptying, a self-emptying. As we might pour, I don't know, warm, stale water out of a glass and refill it with cool, refreshing water, that new life coming into us. I won't speak long about our gospel lesson, but I think we find a small example of this new life in our gospel lesson. One of the Pharisees has asked Jesus to come to dinner. Jesus accepts. This is a chance for community, for the love of God to be known, to be celebrated. And at this meal, a woman in the city who was a sinner, which is to say she's one of us, she comes in and she comes before Jesus. She kneels down. She begins to bathe his feet with her tears and to dry them with her hair. And she kisses his feet. She anoints them with ointment. Now the Pharisee who is leading the dinner is offended. And he's disappointed in Jesus. He says, you know, if you were a prophet, you would know who this is. This woman's a sinner. She's one of us, right? And Jesus, he says, you know, I have something to tell you. That things can be forgiven, sins can be forgiven, that the past life can be, you can walk away from it. When sins are confessed, they are forgiven and they don't exist anymore. He speaks about forgiveness. And this woman who has come has clearly walked out of her past and into her future. She has, in fact, knelt before this future, who is Jesus, and submitted her life to his life. She has emptied herself that she might then be filled. She fills herself with the life of God, the love of God, as fresh water might fill a glass. This is the invitation given to us this morning. It is given to us every morning. That we might, by the grace of God, not live a life unto ourselves, but know the Christ living in us. Thanks be to God. Amen.